So pleased to chat with Dr. Abdul Wahid of Lux Dental here in Quincy Point to get an update on, you know, the dental side of this whole pandemic. It's something that hasn't been talked about. It's almost feeling like the forgotten healthcare profession, although just as important. Dr., great to virtually talk with you. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure being here with you.
Likewise, it's been too long. We'll have to make it more often. It's funny that it took this to get us back together again. but I was thinking about the fact that, you know, folks are not able to go see their dentists in person now. And I'm wondering how that, how that is impacting you personally and professionally.
So, you know, dental care, oral health is certainly an integral part of medical care. And I've always been an advocate in terms of explaining this. And it's evident to those who've had a toothache. I'm not sure if you've ever had a toothache, but if you've ever had a toothache, it's something you don't forget. You just never forget. And due to the pandemic, you know, being a responsible medical profession that we are, we have the integrity of trying to flatten the curve. We've donated our PPEs to the hospitals. To MEMA. So most dental offices no longer have PPEs, and we are struggling as a profession to get PPEs for the dentists around here. But dental emergencies still do happen. Dental infections still do happen. It's a reality. And certain dental infections do become life-threatening infections. A severe oral infection could block your ability to swallow and block your ability to breathe.
So what are you telling, you know, your patients if they do experience a problem?
So what we realize is I had the privilege of having served the Brigham and Women's Hospital between 2002 and 2006. And what we know is that even prior to the pandemic, there was always an access to care issue, meaning certain people have a harder time getting to the dentist. And the main issues, and we all know these things, it's cost, it's whether you have insurance or not, it's your ability to have transportation, it's your ability to get out of work, it's your ability to have the education and the language abilities to actually go to the dentist. And emergency rooms are not the appropriate place to get dental care. With the sudden, and I'd say acute closure or cessation of practice due to numerous reasons that we've outlined before, a lot of people have lost dental care. For Lux Dental particularly, we have been providing dental care to our patients through something called teledentistry, which is similar to what you and I are doing, that is suitable for all cases. For minor cases, we're able to diagnose patients. But there are visibility limitations. I had the pleasure of seeing a child last week, and we really couldn't do the exam. The kid was non-cooperative, and we really couldn't see, and mom couldn't help us.
So, I mean, are you asking folks to basically, you know, open their mouths to the camera on their screen and then let you look in?
I am. We're using flashlights. We're having their partners, their parents help. Hold on to their lips, and we're trying to do the best we can to examine, because we don't want to inundate our hospitals with dental emergencies. And the average person is not a dentist, and they're not seeing teeth all day. So it's very hard and it's very difficult for them to assess as to what is a dental emergency and what isn't a dental emergency. Now, if we believe we have a dental emergency and we go to the emergency room because teledentistry doesn't work, we inundate our medical staff. They themselves are running out of PPEs. They themselves, they're dealing with COVID-19 in a lot of cases. You know, Massachusetts, third hotspot, and in general, dental patients are going to the emergency room, they're not really being triaged appropriately because our physician colleagues are not dentists. They're not, and I know this because I served the Brigham for many years and I served our emergency department there. And dentistry is, emergency rooms are just poor dental homes.
I know that there's a push, I think it was May 18th, that the Mass Dental Society is hoping to have dentist office reopen. Does that look like it would be a reality?
So I have the privilege of serving the Mass Dental Society. So I'm a trustee of the Dental Society. So when we together as a group collectively picked May 18th, we are really basing it on science. We're basing it on data. We're basing it on the governor's recommendations. And of course, we're considering, you know, the availabilities of PPEs for dentists. But having said that, you know, the coronavirus pandemic is a moving target. You know, we get new information, new data coming out every day. So we are hoping for May 18th, but the principal methodology we're going to use in terms of determining what that date is, it's going to be determined on safety. Safety for our patients, safety for our staff, and whatever we think is best. It's not going to be based on anything else but safety.
Okay. When, you know, you do eventually do reopen, what will that look like, Doctor? Will there be changes put in place to, you know, maintain social distancing or things of that nature?
It's prudent that we keep our patients and our staff safe. As I've mentioned, that is the primary concern for everybody, and it's the primary responsibility of the medical profession. I have to say this, our profession, we have been probably the champions of infection control. For the longest time, infection control has been one of the primary things that we do in every office. Every office tests our sterilization machines on a weekly basis or more. We have always utilized the highest levels of PPE. We have always worked with aerosol. This is not something new to us. We've always worked with aerosol. The cleanliness of the office, the waiting room, the operatories, they're constantly being cleaned. They're constantly being monitored. The newest technologies available are being used. The newest disinfectants are being utilized. You know, gloves, masks, I mean, the standard stuff. But, you know, in my impression, having served a hospital, served a community health center, you know, different facets of medicine, I can tell you this, dentistry has always been the champion. So in the future, we are looking to make certain modifications. We'll probably limit the number of people that we have in a waiting room.
Right.
We will probably try to limit the appointment times and mm-hmm. try to be more cognizant about the schedule. We'll probably have to see a lower volume of patients initially.
Right.
But, you know, we are waiting for the science. We want the science to come out because we also don't want to limit access to care. For Lux Dental, as you're in the evening times, operating during the weekends, we want to make sure that our patients that are on Medicaid, our elderly patients, our handicapped patients, they're able to come in. You know, we have a hiatus of 2 months now where people haven't had routine dental care. And it's important that we return to some levels of normalcy.
Yeah. Are there things that folks should be doing on their own right now where they're unable to see a dentist just to promote good oral hygiene, good oral health, so they don't have to come see you right now?
I you know, we've always advocated the same things that we're going to advocate right now, and that is good oral hygiene, reduce sugar consumptions. Processed sugars are horrendous. You know, diet is critical. And I know this may be a little bit beyond the realm of dentistry, but I, as a dental professional, has always recommended exercise as well, exercising from the home. We've always recommended using a soft toothbrush. And for those of us who, you know, brush really hard, and we know that, because our dentist has mentioned to us, I've always mentioned that we should brush with our left hands and we should brush lightly. Good diet, good oral hygiene, soft techniques that we have recommended for ages, and we would continue to recommend. As you know, a lot of us are stuck at home. This is the season, the pandemic season, where we're consuming probably a little bit more of junk food. So we've got to definitely keep an eye on, you know, what we choose. You know, fruits and vegetables are, you know, my go-to. Nuts, these are my go-to, and I recommend to all our patients.
Sure. Of course, kids are home as well. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, raiding the cookie jars and the refrigerators for sugary sweets and treats. So be mindful, I guess, of that for parents, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is an opportunity for parents as well who are not really routinely at home to see what's going on with their kids. I had the pleasure of speaking to a patient who informed me, oh my gosh, she's like, I didn't know that my child was with grandma and this is what grandma was feeding him. And this is an opportunity, you know. She informed me that she's going to put a padlock on the refrigerator. And I just told her, how about we just don't put the wrong things in the refrigerator? That way we'd save the padlock, correct?
Right. What are you hearing from your colleagues, you know, in other parts of the country or the world for that matter, where this pandemic has already kind of passed and how they're starting to re-engage again?
Our dental profession is struggling all across the globe and within the United States. Our chief concern, I was just speaking to a dentist in Italy, and another one in Romania, another one in Hungary. Our concerns are similar. All of us, we don't have PPEs. Mm-hmm. We don't have sufficient PPEs. We're concerned about how are we going to provide access to care to our patients. Dentists are, in many ways, at very high risks. In the aerosolization of saliva, you know, we talk about aerosolization. So what is it? I mean, it's mucus and it's saliva, you know, it's respiratory mucus and saliva. That's what we're talking about. Dentists are working in the oral cavity. We are the friends of saliva. We're the ones who are dealing with it on a daily basis. And I also want to bring the spotlight to a certain group of dentists that currently, right now, are open, are seeing patients.
Really?
And they are. Because as I mentioned to you, doing teledentistry, I made that choice. My mom is 74 years old. She's handicapped and I'm her caretaker. Mm. So it's been decided that, you know, it's very high risk for me to be serving at this current time. So I've chosen teledentistry. But a good number of my colleagues are actually seeing patients every day doing emergency procedures right now as we speak. Well, they themselves are also, having a lack of PPEs, but yet they're putting their lives on the front lines to treat patients. Because if these patients, you know, with severe dental infections are going towards the emergency rooms, our medical colleagues are going to have to face the same level of risk, and they're not experts in dentistry. Mm-hmm. Our dentists are. And I'd love to talk to you about these frontline staff, these frontline dentists who are actually doing good dentistry.
Yeah, I was not aware of that at all. We don't hear about that in the headlines. We don't hear about the shortage of PPE in dentists' office. You know, folks aren't sewing masks for dentists. It's just not given the spotlight. But here to find out that it's just as needy.
Well, let me tell you an interesting project that we have been working on here. So about 3.5 weeks ago right now, I reached out to the Brigham and Women's Hospital, to my colleagues in the emergency department, and I asked them, you know, what could we do to help alleviate their stress? It's not they don't want to see dentistry. That's not their specialty. And emergency rooms, as I've mentioned, are not equipped to see dental emergencies. That's not what they do. You know, heart attacks, strokes, you know, respiratory distress, uncontrolled diabetes, you know, that's what they're trained to do.
Mm-hmm. Severe trauma, of course, sure, yeah.
Trauma, absolutely, you know. And we treat facial traumas as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a small portion of ED, referrals. So I reached out to my colleagues and I said, what could dentistry do? And they're like, well, why don't you update our referral list? So, you know, they dusted off a referral list and they handed it over to me, and there were five names on it. And, you know, the vast majority of these locations are no longer seeing emergencies. So what we would end up doing is, you know, the emergency department would, you know, see the dental emergency, discharge the patient. The patient will then, you know, go to one of these places which will no longer see emergency patients. And then the patient will end up in another emergency room or the same emergency room. So what we did was we decided very early on that, you know, dentistry needed to respond. And what we did very quickly was we decided to find 20 dentists that are seeing emergencies. Now, these are frontline, you know, heroic dentists that are risking their lives. You know, the science is still unclear. You know, there's a lot we still don't know.
Right.
But they made a determination that they are going to see patients.
Wow.
So we put this directory together. We put in a digital format. We gave it to our ED staff at the Brigham. And we said, and I was semi-unconscious because it was three days and three nights of work with our team. And what I told them was, this is a free directory. It's free to doctors, free to patients, free to hospitals, free to dentists. It's free to everybody. And it's simply a gift of dentistry to the world. And you know, in my unconscious state. And a week or two later, I got an email back saying that we pushed it out. And the best line we've heard in the last week was, this is a gift of dentistry to the world. So the Brigham is utilizing the platform. And several Massachusetts hospitals and nursing associations, are utilizing the platform. So it's been about 3 weeks now.
Well, that must be a great relief to those folks to be able to have a resource to give their patients, you know, where they can get some help. Any local ones that you'd like to mention?
So we had so many local ones.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. Quincy has been the champion. The South Shore has been the champion of dentists. So it's been 3 weeks and we had 20 dentists on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
You will not believe what the response of the dental profession is. We are close to 10,000 doctors now.
Wow.
Across the nation, including Canada. And late last week, we had a request that the platform be used in Australia as well.
Really?
Yes. So as of today, we've deferred more than 4,500 patients from emergency rooms. And the platform is free, like I mentioned, to everybody. It is called Dental Cupid, DentalCupid.com. It's a free platform, and the goal of the platform is quite simple. We want to direct those with dental emergencies away from the emergency rooms and to these dentists. But keep in mind, it's for true dental emergencies.
Okay.
It's for people who really, you know, you're in pain, you've got a broken tooth, you've got, you know, you're unable to eat, you've got an infection. That's when you contact Dental Cupid.
Okay.
If you have difficulty swallowing, breathing, you have a severe oral facial infection, that's when you go to the emergency room.
Right.
And you know, most of us have our own dentist. So contact your own dentist first. If you can't find your own dentist, then Dental Cupid is here to help you out.
That's a wonderful resource. That's great to know. I've heard of this. So I'm happy to help you get the word out about it. I hope folks will be able to utilize that.
Well, let's hope they won't need to utilize it.
Right.
But exactly. if they do, we want you to know that, you know, this is a local project. You know, mm-hmm. This is from the South Shore. It's from us. And we've got so many dentists. I mean, if you go on it and you typed in one of our Quincy zip codes, actually, you don't even need to do that. The phone will detect it. The list is endless. So we've got a good support base. And you mentioned, you know, you don't hear about dentists all the time. These dentists are heroes. They are frontline dentists. They are there risking their lives. They're facing aerosol. Mm-hmm. They have a shortage of PPEs, but they're out there in the community trying to make a difference.
Sure. So, I mean, do you also want to put out the call to have donations of PPEs sent to these dental cupids, if you will?
I never thought you would make such an offer. How about this? This is what I would suggest. I would suggest that if you do have PPEs, donate it to MEMA.
Okay.
Donate it to MEMA. And I would hope, if MEMA's listening to this, that MEMA, when they're doing their coordination, they keep in mind about the dental providers as well.
Okay.
I am putting my full faith and trust in MEMA, and I am hoping, and it's our responsibility as well to let them be aware that dentists are on the front line as well.
Sure.
And I would hope MEMA would make the appropriations to these dentists as they do to our emergency staff, as they do to our other medical colleagues. Keep us in mind. And I don't want to create a separate donation just for dentists.
Gotcha.
Because I think, you know, I have my faith in NEMA, and I really want them to, and I know I'm rhetorical now, I really want them to, you know, put us on their mental map. Dentists are on the front lines. We're doing important work, and we need their support.
Yeah. What are you seeing in Quincy, Doctor, in terms of dental needs right now? What do you think the community is needing at the moment?
I believe that Quincy, just as in many of the neighborhoods that have very common and similar demographics, we have a representatively probably a little bit higher of a dental need than certain other areas comparatively. You know, we have a good level of senior population. They have always, you know, as people live longer, they utilize their teeth longer, and they need more servicing to their teeth. So we have always been committed to providing dental care to our seniors. And, you know, I'm really hoping that they don't have any acute dental needs. As you are also aware, Representative Chan and I, myself, we legislation but Representative Chan and myself have been working very, very, very hard in terms of trying to push this bill. Because we believe that low-income seniors should get dental care for free. And we will continue to do that.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to share with our viewers?
I would like to say, stay healthy, wash your hands frequently, put on a mask when you go out, do not touch your face, maintain a good diet, never be shy to communicate with your physician, colleagues, our colleagues, your friends, and communicate with them. Your dentists are your friends. We're here for you. For those of us doing teledentistry, please utilize us, communicate with us. If your dentist is unable, and it's not because they don't want to, if they're unable to see you, there's Dental Cupid now. Go ahead and use Dental Cupid. And if you absolutely need to, you know, utilize your emergency medical services. Your dental profession has been dedicated to healthcare for as long as we've existed. You know, we invented anesthesia. So we've been here for a long time, and we are looking for society to help us out, to help our profession out. Because if you don't help your dental profession, it's very difficult for us to help you. Not because we don't want to, but if we don't have the PPEs and we don't have the equipment and we don't have the support, how are we going to be this prudent, crucial pillar of healthcare?
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Do you feel that you know, the governor and the state is aware of the needs of the dental community?
I'm hopeful that the governor is aware, but you have to remember, we have a good governor. He's a good guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him several times. I can't possibly imagine the level of stress that he is facing on a daily basis. And it is our profession's responsibility to let him know that we're on the map. We can't expect him to know the needs of every single profession.
Right.
But we have people like you to spread the message. And we have people like you that's crucial. You know, our journalists, our reporters, they are crucial in terms of sharing the information. And we hope that you can serve as a voice for our profession. And I hope the governor would be listening to this at some point. Our state, I know Representative Chan listens to me all the time. And I hope, you know, our other leaders within our community, you know, Ron Mariano is a great guy. You know, he's always been an advocate for oral health as well. I'd love for him and other reps and our congressmen to hear the plight of dentistry. And, you know, my profession, the Dental Society, and myself has and will continue to be a resource in terms of information.
Sure. Any message to your own patients, Doctor, you'd like to relay?
I do. I miss them. For me, seeing my patients is therapeutic. So yeah, I miss them very much. You know, I became a dentist because I love my work.
I'm sure you've seen generations come through your office since you've been in business. So I'm sure that's quite a loss for you, sure.
I have, and I look forward to seeing them. Dentistry is not going away, and we'll be back.
Very good. Appreciate your time. And if we can be of any more help here at QATV, please reach out. We're happy to do what we can.
Thank you. Please do, please spread the message of Dental Cupid, the plight of dentists. And I look forward to speaking to you, and I'm always available to your folks.
Great. Appreciate it.
Have a lovely day. Cheers.
Thank you. You too. Yeah. Bye-bye.